97 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo on this Monday afternoon here, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're live from the Ochsner Community Studios, and the final four of the NFL is all set. In the AFC, it's going to be the Bengals taking on the Chiefs, and in the NFC, two teams for which
who
we
do you
are
root for?
In the NFC game?
Yeah, like who do you root for? Good poll question for tomorrow. Who do you root for? You're a Cardinal fan. Who do you root for?
Niners. But I don't like it.
You root for the AFC team on the other side. That's who you root for.
That's a cop-out. Yeah. No, no. 49ers versus Rams.
Listen,
you're a Cardinals fan. Who do you root for next weekend?
Listen, I happen to think that like, my opinion right now, Kansas City's winning the damn Super Bowl. I'll take Kansas City. I'll give you the other three teams. I don't think Cincinnati can play with them and beat them, and I don't think the Rams or the 49ers can. So I'd be all over Kansas City right now and do a I take Kansas City, you take the field. I feel good about the Chiefs.
Well, now the field's been narrowed as dramatically as it has. Yeah, I would take the Kansas City Chiefs too. But again, that's not the question here. The question is, if you're a Cardinals fan, forget the AFC for a minute. Who do you root for and why? If you're a Cardinal fan, or do you root for anybody?
I think you root against the Rams. You're not rooting for the 49ers. You're rooting against the Rams because it's L.A. and because you hate L.A. I just think that, you know, it's tough, right? I saw so many people tweeting, the 49ers are one win from the Super Bowl. The Cardinals beat them twice. The Cardinals were 3-3-1 against these two teams. Yeah, they were, but the Cardinals are home.
Yeah.
And those teams are still playing.
You tweeted it out on Saturday night that the thought just occurred to you that we could be looking at an all-NFC West Conference Championship game in the NFC. Excuse me. Go ahead.
I felt good that the Rams were going to be Tampa. I really did. I did not feel like San Francisco would beat Green Bay, but that just goes to show you why I would never gamble, because Green Bay looked like such a lock, cold temperatures at home. I mean, I remember breaking out something last week. Jimmy Garoppolo has never started a game when the weather's under 40 degrees.
Right, right.
He played in three of them in New England, but he never started one. Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, never started an NFL game when it's under 40 degrees. That's why I don't bet. I thought Green Bay would have won that game easily.
I thought so too, especially when they started that game with a touchdown on their opening drive. I thought, oh, that's it. Nice ride, San Francisco. See ya. Thanks for playing. We've got some lovely parting gifts for you on your way out the door. We appreciate your time and your interest, blah, blah, blah. And instead, that game totally flipped because of special teams and the 49ers defense and et cetera. Yeah, I mean, I root for San Francisco barely just because the Rams are the team that ended the Cardinals season, because the Rams, it's not just that the Rams ended the Cardinals season a week ago tonight. It's just that the Rams, over the course, even before McVay got there, the Rams have been responsible for so much pain for the Cardinals, so many losses, so many injuries, so many bad moments. Somebody, I can't remember who on Twitter a couple weeks ago, did like a list of all of the guys for the Cardinals in the last 7 or 8 years whose seasons ended in games against the Rams. It was a long list, Gambo. It was a lot of guys who Carson Palmer's career ended in a game against the Rams. Tyrann Mathieu against the Rams. There were I can't remember all of them, so I don't want to quote every single one of them. But there are in the history of the Cardinals versus the Rams, it has been very one-sided. There's been a lot of pain. There's been a lot of suffering. There's been a lot of key guys lost. I'm rooting for the 49ers in that game next weekend, even though it pains me to have to root for anybody. And here's the thing. I mean, let's just get right to the brass tacks with all of this, all right?
Okay.
The reason, if you're a Cardinals fan, that you're so disgusted by this NFC Championship game is that it feels like it's another brick in the wall as to why you're further away than they are, right? Like, it already feels like the Cardinals are far away from contending for stuff like this. Now you're in the same division with two teams that are playing for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
So does it make it seem closer then? Look, does it make it seem that it's closer?
How so?
Went 3-4. You went 3-1 against these teams. You went 3-1 against them. Like, you beat the San Francisco twice. Like, I mean, I think in some ways you might feel like you're actually closer because those teams aren't that much better.
Okay,
than you.
I you know what? I understand what you're saying, but for me, you're sharing a division with two coaches who obviously know how to get it done this time of year.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
You're sharing a division with two coaches who, I mean, Kyle Shanahan in the postseason, Sean McVay, and it feels like they have sort of reestablished their dominance in this division. Those two coaches, like, okay, that was fun. That was nice in the regular season, but when the calendar turns to January, we got this over here. And I understand what you're saying. It feels further away to me now as opposed to closer, despite how the Cardinals did in the regular season against
them. Yeah, because they went backwards. Like the both games against the Rams were competitive, and then they played them in the playoffs, and they got slaughtered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep. That's what it feels like. And that's what it feels like to Michael Bidwell as well. There was a press conference today for the Arizona Super Bowl host committee, one in which Larry Fitzgerald was named like the executive chairperson of the Super Bowl committee. Congratulations to him. If anybody needs any further evidence that Larry Fitzgerald is retired, yeah. I don't think we need it anymore. He's like the executive chair of the Super Bowl host committee. I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. Michael Bidwell was at that press conference today, and this was a story on AZ Central from Kent Summers. Quote, "Anytime you see your direct competitors in the playoffs, it should bother any football fan, and it certainly bothers this one," close quote. He also said, quote, "We're not going to talk about internal things, but I've had lots of internal discussions that I think have been productive and will improve the team," close quote. He didn't reveal any details. Obviously, last week there were a bunch of reports, including some by you, about how all these meetings were going down last week. Michael Bidwell wouldn't get into any of that other than to say, we've had some internal discussions. We think they've been productive. We think they'll improve the team. But he's not happy that there are two NFC West teams that are meeting in the conference championship, nor should he be. That's your competition. Those are the teams you're going to have to beat every single year, and it just got a little bit tougher, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think for Michael, I mean, you know, at one point he was probably looking at extensions for, you know, everybody, including his head coach, and you know, now he's like, okay, and then you may lose your defensive coordinator now, as Vance Joseph has what we believe is a decent chance at that Miami job. But yeah, at one time he was probably thinking about, you know, Cliff and the future and extensions, and now it's, okay, what do I do? What do I do? We were 7-0, we were 10-2, and everything was peaches and cream, and now I'm not sure. So I think he'll probably sit back and use next season as, again, there's no firings coming that I see, and you don't see it. I don't expect it. I mean, the season ended a week ago today. I mean, so they've had internal discussions, which you would expect that there were internal discussions.
Sure.
But there is no firings, no indications of anybody getting fired or a change anywhere. So I think it's very much bring back everybody and let's give this another go, but let's get it right.
If Vance leaves, that becomes a very interesting hire for the organization. Very interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Especially given the failure to develop your two most recent number one draft picks. Isaiah Simmons, I don't want to call, you know what, I'm going to retract that. Isaiah Simmons wasn't a failure this year. He just didn't play a lot the most important game of the year, which was odd to see. Zaven Collins hardly saw the field this year. You've got to figure out a way to get the maximum amount of those two guys. Whoever becomes the DC, that becomes task number one. Task number two will be figuring out your secondary, because it got real exposed over the course of last year. And I just don't know how many avenues there are going to be for the Cardinals to fix their secondary, unless they're going to spend big bucks on it this offseason, because it feels like it's going to be another patchwork kind of secondary for them. And whoever your new DC would be, if Vance takes the Miami job, that's going to be one of their most important tasks, without question.
Yeah, unless they go the route that we've seen them go so many times. Do you trade your first-round draft pick to help yourself at a position? Because, you know, you might be – I can say that the Cardinals weren't all in this year the way the Rams were, but they might be next year, final year of J.J. Watt, maybe the last year of Kyler, under that contract. So maybe they're more. Maybe you trade that first round. I would not be surprised, right? If I told you right now they could trade the first round draft pick and get a shutdown corner, would you do it?
Would I do it?
As long as it's not somebody that's a 1 year guy. If it was somebody that I might be able to have for a few years, I would definitely be interested.
I would, interested for sure. I mean, it depends on the guy, obviously. so I don't want to totally paint myself into a corner. I would be very, very interested in doing something like that. Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Very interested in doing something like that. Sammy Hagar and George Thorogood heading to Auction Pavilion for their Crazy Times tour. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. You can win a pair now by visiting the contest page at arizonasports.com. When we come back, the Cardinals season has been over, and as we near the home stretch of the NFL season as a whole. Football has gone in the valley, but the Suns are still the best team in the NBA, and when we come back, we'll preview their game against the Jazz next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Live from the Auction Community Studios, we are the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, hanging out with you on this Monday. Taking a pause from talking about all the great things that happened in the NFL this weekend, and it was a truly magnificent weekend of NFL football. To talk Suns basketball a little bit, especially Gambo, with the news that we're just getting in now on Twitter. And maybe this is a little bit of a clarification on the severity of the injuries the Suns suffered this weekend, because the Suns just announced about 3 minutes ago that Cam Payne will be reevaluated in 2 weeks with his wrist injury. Jay Crowder is day to day with his wrist injury.
I think Jay's out for tonight, though.
Yeah, they're both out for tonight. Yeah, neither one are going to play tonight.
Jay's out. Cam Payne's out as well. So Cam could be 2 weeks. Well, you get to see a lot of Elfrid Payton, right? Yep. I mean, that's why they got a third backup point guard. I mean, that's, you know, this is the Suns for you. You know, that their third point guard is not a second-round draft pick that's never played. He's a guy that's got a whole lot of starting experience under his belt and was a former first-round pick.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It suggests to me, and I could be way off base on this, and we'll talk with John Bloom about this coming up in a little bit in the 6 o'clock hour for bonus Burns and Gambo. That suggests to me, obviously, that Jay Crowder's injury is not as serious, not right. That serious, right? That he's in fact, both of them were at shoot-around this morning. Both of them were wearing a contraption on their wrist. Understand that both of the wrist injuries they suffered against the Pacers, neither one are on their shooting hand. They're both on their offhand. So that helps a little bit, obviously, in that regard. But it suggests to me that Cam Payne's is the more serious of the two, and Jay Crowder is more likely to return faster, given that he's day-to-day and Cam Payne's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. Now, the other interesting thing about Cam Payne, he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. The trade deadline in the NBA is about 17 days away, give or take. So right about the time you're reevaluating Cam Payne will be about the time you'll be making a decision at the trade deadline what to do. I wonder, and I don't expect you to have the answer to this today, but I do wonder if that will factor in to what the Suns do at the trade deadline if Cam Payne's status is still kind of iffy around that deadline.
Yeah, a lot of people have speculated on, you know, because there was a time when he was struggling too, whether they need to get another point guard, whether maybe a point guard that's better than Cam Payne. But then Cam started to play well, and I don't think that was an option because there's names out there. You know, could they go get Corey Joseph? Could they go get – there's just a bunch of names out there of guys that they might be able to go get. I wasn't of the – look, from everything I've heard, they're open to making a trade. They're not going to do anything significant, or they don't expect to do anything significant. You can never say never, right? Something falls in your lap, you might pull the trigger on it. But they were expecting to, you know, just round out the edges a little bit, try to make themselves a little bit better. But with the concern that, hey, listen, we got good chemistry, we got good players, we got good depth. You know, you don't want to make a move that hurts your team. You don't want to make a move to bring in a guy that doesn't fit. So it really is all about chemistry and finding the right guy if they can.
Yeah, but it's also about, you know, recognizing this unique position you're in terms of the window and going for it now, given this opportunity you have in front of you. And I certainly wouldn't, you know, I understand what you're saying about chemistry and finding the right guy like a Bismack Biyombo is very, very important, and I don't want to minimize that, but I also think they understand, at least I hope they understand, that you are maybe not the driver's seat, but you certainly are one of the clear favorites to win the NBA championship this year, and I hope they act accordingly going into the trade deadline.
Yeah.
You know, with that in mind, you are one of the favorites. Please don't be shy about adding guys who some point you might need later on this season.
But you're also looking at what, like, what is Golden State going to do? What are the Jazz going to do? Like, you don't want to sit back and do nothing if you have an opportunity to make your team better and let these other teams make these moves that make them better.
Yes.
So that's the thing you're looking at, too. You do, we're fine. We're content. Just, I think that they'll listen. James Jones is a fantastic general manager. They're looking. They're talking. You know, for them to give up their first round pick, I think it would have to be for somebody that would be part of their rotation, you know, that would get those minutes if they're going to give up a first round pick. I'm all for it if they can do it. But, I right now I would expect that they do make a trade, but I wouldn't expect that it's anything significant.
February 10th is the trade deadline. We'll see. And again, we'll see if these injuries have any impact on that. Again, both Jay Crowder and Cameron Payne were at the facility today. They were getting up shots from the free throw line. They were wearing contraptions on their injured wrists. I would have thought in the moment during the Pacers game that Jay Crowder's was the one that was more serious. He ran off that court like a bat out of hell when he landed on that wrist funny. I mean, just ran right to the locker room. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200, where campaign played a little bit longer, didn't leave that game immediately. So neither one of those guys tonight. Monty Williams, just a moment ago, Gambo confirmed DeAndre Ayton is out tonight for the Suns. He won't play against the Jazz. Utah, on the other hand, my God, they're missing everybody for tonight's game, it feels like.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell has missed a bunch of games. I think, you know, Rudy Gobert is going to be out. I mean, they went 1-4 without Gobert early in the year. They're 1-3 without Donovan Mitchell. They've gone 4-8 in their last 12 games. So since the beginning of the year, they're 4-8. They've lost to Indiana. They've lost to Detroit. They've lost to Houston. They've lost to the Lakers. So they've really had some struggles. And they've got a, you know, Mike Conley's out. They got a lot of key guys out. So, you know, they're struggling right now, so they come into this game without a lot of key players. But, you know, we saw that with the Pacers the other night. The Pacers went into that game without a lot of key players, and, you know, they found themselves in the last 4 minutes of that game, they were within like 6 points of the Suns. So you got to be careful. These teams that are shorthanded, you know, it gives opportunities to other guys to come out and play, and those guys want to take advantage of that.
Yeah, Mike Conley has been ruled out. Rudy Gobert has been ruled out. Donovan Mitchell has been ruled out. For Conley, they're calling it a right knee injury slash maintenance. They played yesterday. It's on the second night of a back-to-back for them. That might be part of the reason. Rudy Gobert's got a left calf strain. He's out. Donovan Mitchell's still in concussion protocol. He's out. Bogdanović is questionable. Joe Ingles is questionable. Royce O'Neal is questionable. As Kellen Olsen points out on social media, that's 6 of their top 7 guys in minutes who are either out or questionable for tonight's game. And in a way, it's a shame because I would have, I know it's just January basketball, Gambo. I would have loved a good, fun mid-January game between two of the top teams in the Western Conference on national TV. Just to kind of give us a gauge, you know, of where I yes. think I know where the Suns are, but you know,
but
just
you want to continue to test yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
They played 3 times last year and the Suns won all 3 games. One of them was in overtime. The other two were kind of blowouts for Phoenix. So they played 3 times last year and the Suns won all 3. I don't look at you know, last year Utah, there was definitely a team I looked at. Right now, especially with all their injuries and they're struggling, I think it's a 2-team race between the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns. Even with Golden State's recent struggles, I think they'll be there in the end. I think the Suns are clearly the best team in the NBA right now. But some of these teams, like the Jazz, are going to want to get healthy and get right and make an addition to 2 so they can make a run at the Suns and the Warriors in the playoffs.
You can text us your thoughts on the Suns, the Jazz, and the NBA in general. The FanDuel text line is open for you right now at 620-620. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it is official, the turning of the page of the NFL from a running league to a passing league, and this weekend confirmed that. And speaking of making it official, Tom Brady maybe has officially opened the door to speculation as to whether he's done this year. Comments that are fresh from his podcast that you'll want to hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns on this Monday afternoon. Thanks for hanging out with us. Yeah, bonus Burns and Gambo today as we're on until 6:30. as the Suns taking on the Utah Jazz. We just went through all the injuries for both teams. It's not going to quite be the Western Conference showdown that we hoped, with Ayton out, Crowder out, Conley out.
Walking through that door.
No.
John Stockton ain't walking through that door.
He's not walking through that door.
He's not walking through Gonzaga's door either. They pulled his tickets.
They did?
You didn't see that?
No, I missed it. They pulled John Stockton's ticket.
Oh, John Stockton. Yeah. John Stockton had his tickets pulled from Gonzaga.
Why? I didn't see that story at all. What happened?
Something to do with not wearing a mask, I think.
Oops.
I think Gonzaga pulled his tickets.
Yeah. I didn't see that. Tickets pulled.
So he didn't want to wear his mask when he was there, so they pulled his tickets from him.
Gonzaga suspends legend John Stockton's basketball season tickets over defiance of mask mandate. That came
maybe
down
he is
the
walking through that door tonight.
He might.
He's got nothing else to do.
he probably still could play. Oh, my gosh. Okay, the Jazz. I'm just telling you, right, the Jazz made it official. They took the questionable guys. They ruled them out, too. So Bogdanović, Ingles, O'Neal, Conley, Gobert, and Mitchell, they're out tonight. They will not play for the Utah Jazz.
Mark Eaton available?
Oh, seriously.
Howard Eisley?
At this point, who? Boy. So no Donovan Mitchell, no Rudy Gobert, no Mike Conley. They had already been ruled out. Royce O'Neal, Joe Ingles, and Bogdanović were all questionable.
Hornacek lives in town, I think.
They've now all been ruled out, too. The Jazz are bringing a knife to a gunfight tonight. Those are six of their top 7 minutes, guys, by the way.
Wow.
No, what I was going to tell you was, before we talk about running backs in the postseason.
Yes.
Because you unearthed a really, really good stat. A good nugget. Not just a stat, but...
Yeah, I just looked at it myself, too. I just thought about it, and I started to look at it, and I went to each game, and I took the highest running back in each game, and I put it all together. But go ahead.
I want to get into that, but I'm telling you right now, Tom Brady made some very interesting comments on his Let's Go podcast.
I just saw them.
Okay.
About the family. The family's got to be involved.
Uh-huh. Let me read these, because this might fuel this idea that maybe there's something a little bit more going on here. Tom Brady about his wife and family in football. Quote, "It pains her to see me get hit out there, and she deserves what she needs from me as a husband, and my kids deserve what they need from me as a dad."
Wow.
"I said this a few years ago. It's what relationships are all about. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and figure out in the future what's next." There's one more. Hold on. "Playing football, I get so much joy from. I love it. But not playing football, there's a lot of joy in that for me also now, too, with my kids getting older and seeing them develop and grow. So all these things need to be considered, and they will be," close quote.
Read the first part again about getting hit.
"It pains her to see me get hit out there, and she deserves what she needs from me as a husband, and my kids deserve what they need from me as a dad."
I thought about that as I was watching him get battered yesterday, the pressures, the hits. I thought about Kurt Warner, and I thought about Kurt Warner's final game. That game against the Saints, in which the Cardinals got blown out in that game. And like that, I did. I swear, watching that game yesterday, I wondered, like, he's got a year left on his contract. Kurt had a year left on his contract. There was a lot of pressures. There was you remember that game, New Orleans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, New Orleans, they were hitting them, man. They were getting at him a little bit. And I just wondered if that was going to affect Brady to get at 40. Listen, it hurts when you're 24. Mm. It hurts when you're 34. It's got to hurt a hell of a lot more when you're 44.
Yeah.
Like, it has to.
It's got to take a lot longer for the hurt to go away when you're 44, right? Your powers. I don't care how many hyperbaric chambers you sit in. I don't care how well you eat. Your power of recovery at 44 is just different than when you're 24. It's just different than when you're 34. And, you know, let's be honest. He's in a situation. Well, I mean, he could have walked away years ago, but I'm just as interested in the line, quote, "It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. and I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and figure out in the future what's next, close quote.
You know what? I mean, listen, I can't. Listen, I have a lot of respect for him. I'm glad he's out. I don't want him to win. He's got his seven. When he retires, I'll cop to it. Like it'll be the end of an unbelievable era in NFL football, because this is the greatest quarterback that any of us have ever seen play. We're going to be hard pressed to find anybody that's going to be at that level. Same thing when Michael Jordan retired. And as good as some of these other players were, they're not Michael Jordan. LeBron's not Michael Jordan. He's great, but he's not Michael Jordan. There will be great quarterbacks that come in and play. Like, man, it's some writing. Maybe Josh Allen wins three Super Bowls, or Joe Burrow wins three, or Mahomes wins four. But it's going to be hard to say that those guys are better than Tom Brady. Maybe we will, but I doubt it. So it will be a sad day. But to sit back there and find out what is your family, you have to ask that question. They've allowed you to play this game that you love for a long time, and it's made you and your family very rich. But there's other things that Tom Brady can do if he chooses to. But I do think the most important thing is he's got to find out if his family wants him to continue to play or not.
Yeah, because he certainly doesn't have to, and he certainly is in a position where he could have walked away from this thing a long time ago. And I got to imagine, again, neither one of us know the man. We're just taking what he says in the media and on his podcast. We're kind of parsing his words. And
yeah, he said it.
But he said it, and it's. I'm telling you, I said this earlier, and I'll say this again. I did, based off of all the reporting that was going on Saturday before the Bucks-Rams game, I did have this feeling watching yesterday's game. You know what? Maybe I am watching Tom Brady's final football game. Maybe I should watch this game a little differently, thinking this might be it for him. And these comments give a little bit more credence to the idea that maybe he's done. Maybe he's truly decided that, you know, at 44, what else do I need to do? What else do I need to prove? What else do I need to accomplish? And I'm tired, man. I'm tired of all of it. I'm tired of the hits, and I'm tired of eating well, and I'm tired of taking this crazy care of my body so I can go out there and do this at age 44.
I just want to have a Subway sandwich.
I just want to eat some bread.
I want.
Can't
to have
I
bread.
Just have some bread? Come
yeah.
on,
get me some garlic knots. You got a ciabatta?
Yeah. Pizza crust? Can I have some pizza crust?
Yeah, pizza crust?
Seriously. Just a little bread. Can I have some every now and then? Mm. I don't know, man. That's something to consider. All right. Your running back observation.
Okay.
This is good. This is really good. I would never pay a running back, and the numbers you're about to reveal here paint the picture as to why I would never pay a running back in today's NFL.
Yeah, I looked at, and I don't know why I decided to do this, but I mean, everything was, we were talking about the kickers, we were talking about the quarterback play, and I'm just thinking to myself as I'm getting ready for this show and trying to figure out what we're going to talk about and how we're going to talk about it and just putting our emails together to each other and stuff like that, I started to think about, was there a running back that had an impact in a game? And I started to go through the game by game by game, and I remembered that Derrick Henry got stopped on a big 4th-and-1 in the Cincinnati-Tennessee game. They just stopped him, and I kind of remember he didn't really do very much, and then I kind of just decided, let me look at it. So I went to the Cincinnati game. The leading rusher for the Bengals was Mixon, who had 14 carries for 54 yards. The leading carrier for Tennessee was not Derrick Henry, who, by the way, had 20 carries for 62 yards, but it was Foreman, who had 66 yards on 4 carries. The leading carrier for the 49ers was Elijah Mitchell, 17 carries for 53 yards. Adam Jones had 12 carries for 41 yards. Cam Akers had 24 carries for 48 yards. Leonard Fournette had 13 carries for 51 yards. And now here's the number one and number two leading rusher in these games over the weekend. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, 7 carries for 69 yards. Nobody had more yards rushing than Patrick Mahomes. Number two, Josh Allen, 11 carries for 68 yards. He was the number two leading rusher in the playoff game. It was 4 games. And the number one leading rusher was Mahomes with 69 yards. And number two was Allen with 68 yards. I was blown away by that.
I can see why, because it paints this picture. Look, we all know the league has been trending this direction, but it's kind of a stark reminder that running backs, they matter, but when it matters most, they matter the least. You know, like in a 17-game regular season, running backs matter, all right? You need somebody to take the pounding. You need somebody to take that wear and tear. But in a game where it matters most, who would you rather have the ball in their hands deciding the game? Elite quarterbacks and not running backs.
Yeah.
Guys who can throw the ball 350 yards a game, 400 yards a game. And guys like Mahomes and Allen and Kyler Murray who can run and make defenses decide how we're going to defend a guy who can do both. It makes me feel better about the elite weapon the Cardinals have in Kyler Murray if they can deploy it right when they get into a postseason.
Right.
But it also reinforces, man, James Conner, I'll bring him back, but not at a lot of money. Chase Edmonds, I'll bring him back, but not at a lot of money. That's just the running back position in 2021.
I know. To think that there were four games with the impact that these games had, and running backs had little to no impact on the game. Little to no impact on the game. Derrick Henry didn't help Tennessee. Mixon didn't help Cincinnati. Buffalo and Kansas City relied on their quarterbacks to do the running. I mean, it was fascinating when you go back and you look at it, because Cam Akers, all he did was fumble the football. He didn't help at all. He was a total negative for the Rams. He almost lost them the football game.
Yeah, he was almost the big loser of the weekend.
Backs had no impact on these games.
Nope.
No impact.
None whatsoever. None. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, misery loves company, and there have been many football teams whose seasons ended sooner than expected. Who's the most miserable today? Who's, up until this point, whose season has been the biggest failure? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Saw a story on NFL.com. Matt LaFleur said today he spoke to Aaron Rodgers at length in the wake of their 13-10 loss to the 49ers on Saturday, but he's no closer to knowing who is going to be his quarterback in 2022. Quote, "I sat down and talked to Aaron today for quite some time. I think we're all a little numb to the situation right now. And so I would say that what we talked about, I'm definitely going to keep between him and myself, but we're hopeful that he'll be back next year, obviously. This guy has done so much for such a long period of time for this organization, this city, this team. And I want to be respectful of his process, whatever he needs to go through to make the best decision for himself. And certainly we would love for him to be a Packer and be a Packer until the day he retires." Close quote. The reason I read that quote is, as we welcome you back to the Burns and Gambo show, we were talking earlier in the show, Gambo, about what team, be it from this weekend or just the season in general, kind of reflects the greatest failure so far in the NFL.
Yes.
It's the Packers. Got to be the
yes.
Packers, right?
Yeah, I think it's the Packers because it's a long list of failures. They've been waiting to win that second Super Bowl title for Rodgers for a long time. And what, 2010? I mean, it's been so much failure for Aaron. He's 0-4 against the 49ers. I believe, by the way, Brett Favre was 4-1 against the 49ers in the playoffs. Brett Favre went 4-1 against them. Rodgers is 0-4. But I think with the number one seed, home field advantage, you got a warm weather team from California coming in on a snowy, cold day. To not win that football game is just—it's almost unthinkable that they wouldn't win that game. It's cold. It's in your building,
right.
And they're a California team. Jimmy Garoppolo had never started a game under 40 degrees. So I think the Packers—they had the number one seed. They were home. The Packers were beat up. There's, you know, the Rams, you know, they're top heavy. The 49ers got Garoppolo. You had to figure they were the odds on favorite.
I think they're for all the reasons that you just said and more, especially given kind of the concessions that were made to Aaron Rodgers to get him to come back this year and not be a pain and how it seemed to be working. I know it wasn't the easiest year for Rodgers in Green Bay with all the stuff about the vaccination and his toe and all that stuff. But for the most part, it kind of felt like Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, for lack of a better way of putting it, were in love again. You know, that they had kind of rediscovered that old magic and that they were back together and everything was going to be okay. The mom and dad weren't going to get a divorce after all. They were going to stay together forever and that the kids were going to be all right. And now losing that game to San Francisco kind of has put you back in this position where if you're a Packers fan, you got to feel like, okay, man, on second thought, are mom and dad going to stay together? You know,
mom and dad decided to stay together, and they went out on a couple dates, and they just realized, you know what?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
They realized, you know what? You're you, and I'm me, and on second thought, why are we doing this, right? And it feels like now losing to the 49ers is just a reminder of why both sides were contemplating moving on in the first place. Do you realize, and I didn't know this until I just saw this on social media about an hour ago, that over the last 20 years, no team has lost more home playoff games than the Green Bay Packers?
He's lost 4 at Lambeau. Rodgers is 5-4 at Lambeau. Is it 4 losses at home?
I think they're counting some of the end of Brett Favre and the beginning Aaron Rodgers, because according to this Fox Sports NFL graphic I'm looking at, from 2002 to 2022, the Packers are 7-7 at home. But how? I don't know.
Supposed to be like, you know, it just goes to show you home field advantage doesn't mean it. Like, what do we always say? Like, oh, you don't want to go to Green Bay in January. No, you know what? It doesn't matter. Go. It's beautiful there. It's beautiful. You'll love it. It's a beautiful place. The snow, the views are fantastic of the mountains. Nice little chill. I got a fireplace for you. Get a couple lodges. It's great. Go for a nice brisk walk. I mean, I'm not saying it anymore. I will never again, ever, I promise you. For the short time left in my radio career, I am never going to sit here and say, you don't want to play the Packers in Lambeau in January. I promise you, if I say it, find me $100. $100.
$100?
$100 in food and drinks and desserts for the staff. If I say you don't want to play the Packers in Lambeau in January, I am never going to say that again.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, you shouldn't mind playing the Packers in January. You know why? Because they suck at home.
They do. They do.
They suck at home.
In the postseason, they do. And look,
$100. Write that down. Remember that. If I say it, hey, you got $100. Here's our order for tomorrow.
I'm looking at it. I'm looking
four pies, 25 cannolis, and some Zeppelis. Some iced tea, unsweetened.
I'm looking at Eric right now. It's written down. You're never allowed to say that again. And if
I want
you do,
some crumble cookies and some cupcake. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, cupcake. Whatever you want. If I say it,
so
I'm in.
Get all this stuff.
Yeah, seriously. You know what? I'm gonna try to goad you into saying it just because all of a sudden I want four pies and 25 Zeppelins.
Whatever you want. I'm $100 worth of food for all of you guys on me if I say you don't want to play the Packers in Lambeau in January. Yeah, you do. It's beautiful that time of year.
You just
get a
said
nice
it.
Little sweater. You know, get a hat. You don't even need sleeves when you play. You don't even need. They got heaters now. Well, it's not even that cold, right? You go to the sideline. You're toasty warm. You're like, can you turn down the heat? You know, it's 10 degrees outside. I know, but I'm hot. These heaters are warm. You go outside, you play for a little bit, you go back to the heaters. Then you go and you play, then you go back to the heaters. Before you get off the field, there's a guy with a gigantic parka for you. You don't even get to the sidelines, and there's a guy putting a jacket on you. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Eric is trying so hard to goad you into saying it now. Today doesn't count. Today doesn't. He's saying it now, but if he says it any time in the future, then he owes us the $100.
Anytime in the future.
Okay, I like that. Who's been the second biggest failure in the NFL this year until this point?
Man, that one is tough.
I was kind of
leaning Tennessee, but you kind of got me into the Buffalo thing a little bit. I was thinking Tennessee because you are the number one seed. You had home field advantage, but they don't win. It's Tennessee. Nobody's expecting them to do anything in the playoffs. Most people thought they were going to lose. I picked them to lose. So did you.
Yeah, I did. I thought they were very overvalued as a number one seed. I didn't think they were as good as a number one seed should be. I know it's going to sound crazy. I actually think it's the Buffalo Bills, if for no other reason than 13 seconds. And I wonder too, if you know how we've got like wide right or we've got the Music City Miracle. Will this come up? Will this game, and maybe we'll talk about this in the next segment because we've got Bonus Burns and Gambo. I do wonder if what happened yesterday will come up with a catchy nickname in like Buffalo football history, the way the Music City Miracle did or the way Wide Right did. Because when you're 13 seconds away from vanquishing the Kansas City Chiefs, beating the guy who eliminated you a year ago, and moving on to a conference championship game in which you'll be at home against the Cincinnati Bengals, and you can't prevent Patrick Mahomes in 13 seconds from moving his team in the field goal position to tie up the game. That's a massive failure. I mean, and that doesn't even count. Okay, you want to have the overtime conversation and whether they should change the rules? Fine, we can have that conversation, and we have had that conversation. But before that even happened, you had 13 seconds to keep it from happening, and you couldn't do it. That's a massive failure from the Buffalo Bills in that moment. Huge failure in that moment, I think.
Yep. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I get it. Like, you are playing Kansas City. You're on the road. I mean, but man, it was set up for you, and they were hot, and they were playing well, and they had destroyed New England. And boy, this kid Josh Allen, he's so special. He's so special. I would probably take him over almost any of the young quarterbacks. I mean, you know, we always had the discussion. Well, who would you take? Would you take this guy or that guy or this guy or that guy? Man, I am. Put me on that guy's, you know, bandwagon. That kid's fantastic.
He is fantastic. His arm talent is special. His gutsiness, his leadership. I mean, that, what was it, 4th and 13 when he found Gabriel Davis in the end zone. I mean, you got a guy like Kyler Murray running at you, right? And you're looking at him and go, okay, Kyler, get down. Don't get yourself hurt, right? And not that Josh Allen should be reckless with how he runs the football. But Josh Allen running at you is a totally different deal than Kyler Murray running at you. Josh Allen's a linebacker coming at you. That dude's 6'5", weighs 240 pounds. All right, he's a beast. Did you see him hurdle one of his own guys last night?
Yes.
In running the football? I mean, he's just this uncommonly gifted athlete who can throw and run and do it all. And they love him. I mean, He is a special, special guy, and to be 13 seconds away from him advancing to a conference championship game and beating Mahomes, I think that's a and then after that, if we're talking about failures, yeah, the Bucs had home field advantage against the Rams, and they failed. They were so injured. Nobody, I think, should be surprised that the Rams won that game. I think then you start talking about teams like the Cowboys, who were obviously very
not
fake.
Me.
Yeah,
not
well,
me.
I know. You never bought them in the first place, right?
Never bought them. To me, I never thought that the Cowboys were going to win their first playoff game, and I didn't think that they had any chance of going very deep in the playoffs. But you know, if you're Jerry Jones, you're probably thinking that. You're probably thinking, oh, you know, we should have done better, and they were kind of invested in everything like that. But listen, the answer is a lot of teams, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams that only one team's going to win this thing.
Yes.
So I mean, if the Rams lose or the 49ers, they'll be disappointed.
If Kansas City
loses, they're going to be disappointed.
It's different. If the Bengals lose this weekend, they're not a failure. I mean, unless they have a 21-point lead with 5 minutes to go and they blow it, right? I mean, I guess that's not true. There is a way in which the Bengals can lose this weekend in which they're not a failure. But by and large, you do what the Bengals have done in Joe Burrow's, you know, second year there. It would have to be a massive meltdown on Sunday for anything about the Bengals season to be a failure. Whereas there are other teams, the Cardinals, failure. They had the best record in the NFL with, you know, 5 weeks to go in the regular season, and they lost in the first round. The Indianapolis Colts, huge failure.
For sure.
Huge failure. Beat the Jags and you're in the playoffs. You couldn't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. To
you
get
win
in
that
playoffs.
Game and you're in. Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
Massive failure. Whereas there are other teams that the 49ers, they kind of feel like they're playing with house money at this point. The Bengals, they kind of feel like they're playing with house money at
what
this point.
What about the
Rams? They
went all in, man. It can't be house money. It's got to be Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, they got
Von Miller. They got Odell Beckham Jr. They made the Stafford trade. They gave up a lot of picks. It's got to be Super Bowl or bust for them.
100%, especially when you add into the fact that they're home. That they're home this weekend. That they're home for the Super Bowl. If they don't, there is going to be a failure for them if they don't win at least one more game and maybe even the Super Bowl, given that it's going to be in their backyard. Absolutely. No doubt. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it was the best weekend of football we've ever seen, and it might be the best individual playoff game we've ever seen. The epic between the Chiefs and the Bills. We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo show.
You're still here?
Well, duh.
It's not over. Don't go home. It's bonus Burns and Gambo. Bonus.
This is brilliant.
It's bonus Burns and Gambo. Yeah, we're still here and we'll be here till 6:30.
This is great stuff.
Are you ready?
Okay, let's go.
That's right. Bonus Burns and Gambo here on this Monday. And the reason why is we've got a 7 o'clock tip-off between the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns. And so the pregame coverage is going to start at 6:30. And as such, we just go right until 6:30.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. Why not?
I'm still here.
You are. And we're all grateful for that, Gambo.
Thank you.
Grateful for that. Very grateful. Which, by the way, I mean, go back for a second. The short time left in your radio career? What was that little? Come on.
Oh, dude, I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm not doing it for another 25. I'm not even doing it for another 5. So,
all right, well,
you got a few years left to try to get me to say that, you know, that you don't want to play the Packers in Lambeau in January.
Man.
It's not like you've got, you know, a number of times to do it. There's only so many times you got left for me to say that.
You have no idea how hard I'm going to try to bait you into saying that when football season rolls around. Oh, I'm going to try so hard. Yeah, you know, Gambo, the Packers are 7-1 of the season.
Oh.
You don't want to go there and play in the postseason, do you?
It's going to be 8 degrees with a wind chill of minus 15.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, Gambo. Everybody knows you don't want to play there. All I need you to do is say, yep, you're right, Burns, you don't want to play there. And it's $100 towards food and beverage for the Burns and Gambo show team. We're going to make it our mission to bait you into saying that during football season. Our mission.
Ooh, yeah.
It's three against one, Gambo.
The thing going for you is that, you know, the memory is not so good.
Yes.
Except, you know, I've got my little 399 games, puzzles, and trivia challenges especially designed to keep your brain young. So I totally flopped on one of them. How many of these U.S. states can you identify by their shape? I got them all wrong.
Oh, really?
Oh, I was so bad at that.
Oh.
How many can you identify by shape? I was like, yeah, that's...
Really?
Oh, my God, I can't. Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to send a picture of it to you really quickly and see how many you can identify?
Sure. Please do. Please do. I'm probably going to ace it. I'm just telling you right now.
Are you serious? I didn't know any of them.
Yeah, I'm probably going to ace it.
I looked at all of them. I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know states by shape.
All right.
I'll send it to Eric, too.
I think I would only know Oklahoma because it's so distinct. Everything else is just a square.
Oh, come on. Stop.
Yeah, same thing.
Stop.
There you go. I sent it to you. You tell me if you can get any of those.
You just texted it to me?
I just texted it to you.
All right, hold on.
I'm going to go to the page that tells you what. Like, there are some things I can, you know, I'm okay with on these. And then some, it's like, I have literally no idea what you guys are talking about.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get these.
Idaho.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to get to the page. I'm going to get to the page that gives me the answers. What'd you say for the first one?
This is so easy. Okay, hold on. I just want to make
sure. The first one, what'd you say?
Okay, A is Idaho.
Yes.
B is Maine. Jeez. C is New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
D is Michigan. E is Oklahoma.
God. Oh, my God.
F is Illinois.
Oh, my God.
G is Louisiana.
Oh, my God.
H is Ohio.
Oh, my goodness.
And I is Kentucky.
Wrong!
Oh, what's odd? That's West Virginia. Or that's Virginia.
Wrong!
That's Virginia.
It's Virginia.
That's Virginia. Okay, look Kentucky-ish to me. That's Virginia.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You got 8 out of 9.
I
got none. I got 0.
Come on, you didn't get New Jersey. For the love of God, you live there.
I lived in New York.
Well, right across the river.
I don't know. It just looks like a shape to me. It looks like a shape. Should I put this on Twitter? Like,
not unless you want to feel foolish. No, I mean, if you want to feel
Eric,
foolish.
Eric, how many of them did you know? Be honest.
I mean, I knew a couple, but I wasn't listing them off like Burnsy was.
Yeah, dude, I knew none of them. I didn't know one of them. Not one.
Look, Gambo.
I wasn't able to pick. I didn't know one shape of a state and get it. I couldn't get it right. I guessed Hawaii, Kansas, Alaska. I'm like, I just quit. I'm like, I don't know any of them. I quit.
Yeah.
I looked at three, I guessed them, and I was like, I quit. I can't do this.
I'm that guy, Gambo, who, and maybe this will surprise you, it probably won't. I'm that guy that if you gave me a blank map of the United States of America, I could identify every single state. And I could probably do it in 3 minutes.
God.
I could probably just point a line and say, that's this one, and that's this one. It's, yes, I could.
Honey, do you know these shapes right here? Would you be able to name any of these? What's that right there, that first one? Yeah, do you know what shape that is? No? How about this one? All right, I don't feel so bad.
Okay,
thank
good.
You, honey.
Okay,
you just proved my point.
I'm glad we
my
made
wife
you feel
doesn't
better.
Know any of them. Glad you know every freaking. You know everyone. You except you got Virginia wrong.
I got Virginia. It looked like Kentucky for a minute. It looked like Kentucky, but that's definitely Virginia now that I see it. All right, enough of geography that everybody out there can't see. A visual game that Gambo and I are playing over text message that really plays well on the radio, doesn't it? Let's instead talk about. Okay, so. We've avoided actually doing this all day long, and I'm not sure how, but I think it's a testament to kind of how you mapped out the show a little bit, that we never really spent a segment and just said, okay, let's just talk about this game. Instead, we've been looking for themes and kind of commonalities and trends. And
there's so many good angles to
right.
talk about, and that was the play today, not... Hey, what'd you think of the Bills game? What'd you think of there was just so many good angles to talk about.
There were, but don't you think it'd be a wise idea for a few minutes? We gotta talk about that Bills game.
Give me one.
We gotta talk about that Bills Chiefs game. It might be the best playoff game in the history of the playoffs. Now,
with the worst ending because the Buffalo Bills didn't get to touch the ball in overtime.
If you want to look
really,
at it
really.
That way.
It was an unbelievable game. I mean, it's 23-21 Kansas City. And then the Chiefs, they get the field goal. It's 26-21. They got the field goal there. Buffalo gets the ball back on 4th and 13. This is what made the game so great, okay? So it's 26-21. Buffalo's facing a 4th and 13. You stop them there, and the game's probably over, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 2 minutes left in a game. There's 2 minutes left in a game. It's 4th and 13. Stop them, game's over. No, they didn't stop them. Gabriel Davis is wide open in the end zone. The cornerback falls down. It was an amazing fake by him. They get the 2-point conversion. They're up 3. Minute and 54 seconds left. They're up 3. Kansas City's facing a 3rd and 10. Stop them there, you probably win the game. They don't stop them. They get the 3rd and 10. Kelce gains 11 yards. The next play, they throw it to Tyreek Hill, who maybe it looked like he was Usain Bolt. Man, that guy thought once he got going, 64 yards for a touchdown. All right, game's over. 1 minute and 2 left. Kansas City's up 33-29. Buffalo can't even get a field goal. They need a touchdown. There's only a minute left. They need a touchdown. 28 yards to Davis. Allen to Davis, 49 seconds left. 13 yards to Davis, 13 seconds left. Play to Sanders. All of a sudden, they get down there. And then a touchdown with 13 seconds left, they get the touchdown to Davis. Like, oh, my God. They just went all the way down the field in 49 seconds. Like, all the way down the field. 49 seconds, they go all the way down the field. They're winning 36-33. 13 seconds left. Game over. No, Patrick Mahomes, 13 seconds, too much. Couple of plays. They get the field goal. They force overtime. Like, the point about that game is, like, it could have ended on so many different plays. But unbelievable plays were made.
Yeah, no, it and certainly the fourth down one is one that stands out to me. The Tyreek Hill one is one that stands out to me. But just something you said a second ago didn't quite register with my brain at all. Patrick Mahomes had 13 seconds left, but you left him too much time on the clock. Who in the history of football has ever said that about anybody ever? All right, I don't care how great of a quarterback you are. Nobody in the history of this great game has said, oh, you left player X 13 seconds on the clock. That's way too much time. Come on, you know? I mean,
pass
it's like
to Hill, pass to Kelce. You know, no squib kick. They gave him the ball to the 25-yard line. They didn't want to take the chance that there would be a big return.
And I know Mahomes
okay, I
is Mahomes,
it.
And I know Hill is Hill, and I know Kelce is Kelce. That was supposed to be the number one pass defense in the NFL. And in two plays, Patrick Mahomes is able to get them in a position to kick a field goal in 13 seconds. That should never happen. And we can sit here and talk about overtime rules in the NFL till we're blue in the face. Come on, man. Get a singular stop of one of those two plays, and it never even has to go to a coin flip. It never has to get to that point. And the Bills, supposedly the number one pass defense in the NFL, the best defense in the NFL, couldn't get a stop on either one of those plays in 13 seconds. It was, I mean, a credit to Patrick Mahomes. He's brilliant. But the Buffalo Bills defense there, what a letdown for that organization.
One of the best pass defenses in the league. Hill for 18 yards. And then I don't know how many yards it was to Kelce, but it was a big play to Kelce. Just right down the seam, right? And he just hit him. And then, like, two big plays, and now and the field goal wasn't like he had to hit a 58-yarder.
Nope.
It was 49 yards.
Yep, very makeable.
So two plays in 13 seconds got that. Actually, it was two plays in like 10 seconds. Two plays in 10 seconds got him to where they made – it was a manageable field goal. It wasn't like you were saying, kick a 59-yarder to send us to overtime. No, it was a very manageable 49-yard field goal.
Yeah, it sure was. I believe they are – no, I think this is last year's game they're replaying right now on the NFL Network. But, man, that would be – it's going to go down as one of the all-time classics. And credit to the Kansas City Chiefs. Boy, I was rooting for the Buffalo Bills hard in that game yesterday. And their defense let them down. Their defense had the opportunity to get them off the field. They didn't. That game, that singular game – and I don't know – Gambo, we've got three NFL games left this season. I don't know if any of them will be as good as any of the games that we had this weekend. That might have been the peak moment for the NFL playoffs was this past weekend.
That's okay.
Yes, you're
because,
right.
Because, you know, I don't look at it the way other people do. I'm not looking for the very best game at the end and I don't care about what happens. The first week of the playoffs was a joke. All those games were terrible. It was terrible, terrible football. Got to sit there and watch that stuff. It was awful. Just, I don't care when they occur. I just want some good games.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in week one, week two, week three, or week four. There's 4 weeks of playoffs. I don't care when. I want some really great football games. They happen. Look, if you spread it out, that's even better. But all four of them happen to be this week. You're right. We may not get another great game. We may not. Kansas City may roll Cincinnati and the other game, and then they roll whoever they play in the championship, and maybe the NFC game is not that great. But we'll always have this weekend. We'll always have what happened this weekend.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, the Suns back at home tonight taking on the Utah Jazz. Both teams dealing with injuries. A lot of guys out for this one. But the Suns are still rocking that 800 win percentage, and we'll go down to Footprint Center and talk with our buddy John Bloom, all things Suns, next on Bonus Burns and Gambo here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo.
Sorry for the what's on tonight. Games we're going to watch this evening on the Burns and Gambo Show. A late one tonight for ASU basketball. They are taking on USC at 9 o'clock tonight. I'll hear that one on ESPN 620. It's televised on ESPN2. And then, of course, the reason we're still on the air here on Burns and Gambo, it's bonus Burns and Gambo because we got the Suns and the Jazz coming up tonight.
Because we need to ask John Bloom how many states he would get correct. Oh, I'm sorry. No.
He'd probably get them all correct. 7 o'clock tip time between the Jazz and the Suns. You'll hear that here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. And as we often do when we have bonus Burns and Gambo and we got a Suns game coming up, we call upon our good friend from the Phoenix Suns, John Bloom, to come on with us to talk Suns basketball. He joins us from the Footprint Center. How you doing, Bloomer?
I am well, fellas. How are you guys?
Doing good. Gambo sent me a screenshot of a page in a book that he's got there sitting at his desk at home. It's to help him improve his memory and his kind of cognitive ability.
Okay.
There's a picture of 9 different states just by their shape.
Oh.
He could name none of them, and he was astounded that I could name 8 of the 9.
Ooh, nice work, 8 out of 9.
And frankly, the one I got wrong is Virginia, which bears a striking resemblance to the shape of Kentucky.
I was just going to say, Kentucky, for sure.
They
I used
almost
to make
look
that mistake.
They almost look exactly the same. So yep. I said Kentucky, and it was Virginia. So I think he's going to send it to you so you can find out how many you get right.
I would love to do it because, you know what, the first, like one of the first ever video games I remember playing, it was on like the old... I'm gonna totally date myself here, but like one of our first PCs that my family ever owned, and it was name the state based on the shape. That was the actual video. That sounds horrible for a video game. If people are listening that had never heard, that was stuff that we did. Okay,
and Bloomer, I'm gonna text it to you, Bloomer. I'm just gonna text
it to me. Yes, I want to take that test.
What a terrible video game that is.
Oh, I enjoyed it though because you didn't have a lot to choose from back then. So I had Pong. You know, I had Pong, the one where it's just the one dot against the wall. That thing. Yeah. I had that. My parents had that. I don't even know how they got it.
This book is making me feel stupid. That's what this book is doing. My daughter got it for me to help me. Cross train your brain. All it takes is 10 to 15 minutes a day of playing the right games. It's fun. No, I feel stupid. Yeah. It's not fun. I'm not having any fun.
And it didn't help that I got 8 of the 9 right either. So I'm not trying to make you feel stupid, Gambo. I'm really not. All right, Bloomer, you're down there at Footprint Center. And as always, you do a tremendous job calling the games when the Suns are on the road. Tonight, they're at home against the Utah Jazz team. And I'm, look, I get excited about watching the Suns every chance I get because you got a team with an 800 winning percentage, and it's fun to watch, obviously. Tonight's game had a little bit of the teeth taken out of it. Just when you look at the injury report, there are a lot of guys missing from tonight's game. And in a way, it's a shame because I would have loved to have seen full-strength Utah versus full-strength Phoenix right now.
I'm with you, Dave, and I think that it's just going to put it on hold, and we're going to have to be patient because we're not going to see that this week, and they play twice, right, because it's back in Salt Lake City. A late one on Wednesday night is when they'll tip it up again after tonight, the first meeting between these two. So, yeah, it is a little bit of a letdown. Maybe they could go find one of their new partners at the helm from the financial standpoint, get Dwayne Wade to put a uniform on and see if he can help them out because, yeah, they're going pretty deep into their roster and they might resemble more of the Salt Lake City Stars tonight of the G League than they will of the actual Utah Jazz of the NBA. But as we've seen throughout this season, teams that have been depleted with
Pacers.
Their rosters have come strong and everybody wants to beat the Suns. We know that. So the Suns are going to have to adjust with their new rotation without Jay Crowder, without Cameron Payne. Don't know any more information than you guys do about how long they're going to be out, but we know they're not playing tonight and neither is DeAndre Ayton. I can tell you though, DA's looking pretty wiry right now on the floor as he's getting ready to do his underhand half-court shot alternating with Devin Booker, who's out there to join him today. So they're both taking their shots underhanded. DA's actually stepped it back to three-quarter court now just to challenge himself a little bit more with the granny. And he's short by a good amount. He should probably go to half-court.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the Pacers were without so many key guys, and yet with Booker struggling, it's just a terrible game by Book. I mean, the Suns needed a great performance by Biyombo and Chris Paul and Mikal Bridges to win that game.
They did, and they got him. And I know you guys had a conversation. You probably didn't hear this because it was late and you were in bed or watching one of your Netflix shows. But I did give you love for the conversation you had with Bismack Biyombo the other day and told our audience on the postgame show that if they hadn't heard it, they needed to go listen to it because I thought it was one of the better conversations I've heard on the radio in a long, long time. And it wasn't just, your interviewing masterpiece, Gambo. It was also just how real he kept it with you in describing why he chose the Phoenix Suns and why he came to play here for Monty Williams and everybody involved. So I thought that was fascinating, and I'm glad I got a chance to hear it live, and then I went back and listened to it again, and then getting a chance to watch him play has been equally as impressive and enjoyable. And I know it's a lot to ask of a guy who, went 6-7 months without playing competitive basketball to step into this situation and perform at the level he's performing, but it seems like he was ready, that whatever he did during that time off was the right thing for him because he hasn't missed a beat. In fact, he's maybe playing better than anybody would even expect him to play.
John Bloom is joining us from down there at Footprint Center where the Suns are taking on the Jazz tonight at 7 o'clock. As I mentioned, no Ayton, no Crowder, no campaign tonight. Whilst for the Jazz, six of their top 7 minutes, guys, have been ruled out of tonight's game. Mitchell won't play, Gobert won't play, Ingles won't play, Bogdanovich won't play. I could go on and on, but it's going to be kind of one of those games. The question I wanted to ask you, and I appreciate your comments about the Biyombo conversation. We did really enjoy that on Friday. The question I wanted to ask you was about the trade deadline coming up and not knowing the severity of these injuries. Is it possible in your mind that the uncertainty of that might change the Suns' approach to the deadline on February 10th, if they don't know how long a campaign's going to be out, or if they don't know what's going on with Jay Crowder? Does that kind of change how they approach that in your mind, potentially?
I think it has to, at least factor in. But I think that, the issue that I see around the league, and I know you guys see it too, every team is dealing with this. The Suns obviously just got two more the other night with Jay Crowder and Cameron Payne, but they've had injuries all season and have been without guys. The Utah Jazz went through a good portion of the season without getting hit by injuries and without getting touched by COVID. They were probably the last team in the league to have to deal with COVID and have it be a crisis in Salt Lake City, and it was over the course of the last several weeks, but now they're getting through that and they're hit by other injuries. So I just think that all of this is factoring in. I haven't seen anything like this in 20 plus years of covering this league and seeing this many teams come in undermanned and having to start players that even we have to research and figure out where they went to school the night of a game. I mean, that's unheard of in the NBA. Usually even the guys that are 10th, 11th, 12th on these rosters, who they are. Well, now we're dealing with guys who are 15th, 16th, 17th on the roster, actually playing significant minutes, and everybody is dealing with this. And for that reason, Bernsey, I'm saying I think it's changing all the GM's mentalities right now, too, because they're all wondering how serious are these injuries going to be on their own team and with these other guys that they might be interested in trading for around the league, because a lot of them are nicked up. So I think it's going to be an interesting trade deadline. I'll tell you the one thing that James Jones has proven. He doesn't need to wait for a deadline to make an impactful move. He did it last season, and he did it the season before, and he certainly did it this season with Bismack Biyombo and getting him well before that deadline, and it might be one of the biggest acquisitions of the season across the league.
Gambo, I was waiting for you to jump in.
I heard that the time was running out, so I didn't want to ask Bloomer a question that would run us out of time.
You know what? That's a good point. We are running out of time. No,
about 40 seconds ago, Eric said 2 minutes, and I'm like, oh, if I ask a question and Bloomer has a long answer, you know how radio stuff works. I'll be in a boatload of trouble.
Yeah, there's no doubt. All right, so Bloomer, we are going to let you go because we are down to our final minute, but thank you for your time. We appreciate you joining us on Bonus Burns and Gambo. We look forward to catching up with you very, very soon, all right?
Well, I know you guys hit the post like NFL kickers hit game winners over the weekend, so I'm going to let you go ahead and nail it as usual, and thanks for having me.
All right, Bloomer, thanks,
we appreciate
buddy.
It. Thank you.
That's it.
That's John Bloom joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show. He live from the Footprint Center. Yeah, okay, so we've got a little bit of time here, Gambo. There you go. We needed to pop Bloom down. Suns basketball tonight. Sorry, with the bonus Burns and Gambos throwing me off. We haven't had this in a while. We've got the Suns coming up tonight. Tomorrow, we'll probably get into some of the other stories that we didn't spend a lot of time talking about today. Really want to dive into this Brian Billick to ASU and try and find out what that's about. You mentioned earlier.
Yeah, I texted him earlier today. I texted Brian Billick. So we'll probably get him on the show tomorrow.
Okay. So
we'll try to get him on.
We've got that we'll want to talk about. Of course, more NFL fallout. We'll continue to look at what Tom Brady said. We'll continue to talk about Aaron Rodgers and figure out what his future is going to be. Start looking ahead a little bit to the conference championship games that are coming up this weekend, but I imagine we'll save a lot of that talk for later in the week. And then, of course, the Suns and the Utah Jazz. The Suns right now winning 80% of their basketball games, which is absolutely unheard of. The only other team that's even close is the Golden State Warriors. That's going to do it for us. We're out of here. We will see you tomorrow at straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.